Oh, what a day. It's Thursday, July 16, 2026, and this is the week in charts. I'm just going to take care of all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate trying to get time out of your busy schedule to be here. One cup of coffee next week, Dave. What are we talking about? Well, current market conditions, obviously, I have a lot to say about that. We're losing some steam in here, and that has me concerned. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks, and I'm going to continue with the methodology in action. Right now, there's not a whole lot to talk about, because the market has been chopping sideways, and that's something that I was thinking about getting into in a lot more detail. But we have plenty of summer left, so maybe later on this summer I'll talk about patience. Maybe in a newsletter we'll talk a little bit about patience. One thing I want to talk about, especially with SpaceX coming public and all this IPO mania, which the bloom is now off the rose, as you probably know, I want to talk about IPOs and how they could be the promise of the future and how they're a wonderful vehicle for technical-based traders to trade. There's a disclaimer screen, as you know, you can lose money trading or is all the sum it up. All predictions are about the future. A lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. You can also reach me at davidlandry.com. All right, as I've said a thousand times, the missing piece for me was seeing a trader actually trade from start to finish, from analysis to execution. And that was a big deal for me. And also, more importantly, see the ups and the downs and see them go through drawdowns and made me think, like, hey, I'm not alone in being alone, as Mr. Sting's saying. It made you feel a lot more normal. And this business can really make you feel not normal. Yeah. Unless you're due to trading, you haven't experienced that yet, but you will. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. We have one mystery chart this week, still a mystery chart. This started off as a TKO, nice uptrend, lots of Landry light, also an IPO, which I'll touch upon in just one second. It had a TKO or downside. This is what I would call nearly a textbook TKO. And that's when it starts at one end and just goes bam all the way to the other. And the beauty of these textbook TKOs is a lot of times you can put your entry right above the high and stop right below the low. But it did continue to pull back and it formed what I call a Landry light pullback. Landry light is just simply lows are greater than the moving average. The count of that, you can see right here where lows touch the moving average, Landry light is zero. Also, right here, when it pulls back to the moving average, also zero. Anyway, there's the new parameters now that's more of a pullback. And there's still some excitement in this stock because it's an IPO. And I'll walk you through some of the nuances in just one second. Anyway, the entry came down quite a bit. It's also what I call a trend pivot pullback. So right around that pivot high there, and the stop is down here. And the IPT is above the old highs. Now, one thing that's interesting is there's various IPO patterns that I have out there that I pay attention to. And what is the die and fly? And I added an extra die in here. And this is my favorite when they die out, at least. I don't like them to go straight down, straight back up. I prefer if they base out for a long time like this. Now, your biggest opportunities at IPOs will come ideally early in the process, early after they become public. And I'll get to that in just one second. But longer term, there's still a relatively new issue, and there's still some potential excitement there. But anyway, you can see it found its high for quite some time on the first day of trading, and it went down, died out for a while, and then began to fly again. Now, in this particular case, we're looking to play that first deep retracement or a pullback in this particular case. Now, the beauty of the IPOs is they're the promise of the future. They're going to cure some hard disease. They're going to put data centers up in space where they belong. I guess. I don't know. Some people don't want a data center around them. So let's just stick them up in space. I don't know. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm half kidding. Anyway, they can't be a technician's dream. And by that, technical analysis in a purest sense is just buying stuff that goes up. If it doesn't go up, don't buy it. And that's sort of a Will Rogers ism. Anyway, I use a sardine, obviously, or maybe not so obviously, for my logo for the IPO course, simply because going back to the trading sardines story, the sardines were for trading, not eating. And IPOs are for trading, okay? There's some really cool nuances to IPOs. They often find their high in the first week of trading, and often it's on day one. That's why I have a five-day rule and a day one rule, which I'll flesh out in just 1 second. They have various reoccurring patterns that we can use to profit or avoid losses. And again, they find their high often in the first day or first week of trading. Don't trade on the first day, first week. You're going to stay out of a lot of trouble, as you'll soon see. And when you start doing your own analysis, you're really going to see that and really believe it. There are more taken public in good conditions and less in bad. So when conditions are really well, you're going to see a lot of IPOs come to the market. And you'll have plenty to choose from. When conditions get choppy and you get into a bear market, you're going to see less and less IPOs, okay? And that in and of itself could be a little bit self-regulating. Like right now, for instance, with the core methodology, I'm seeing a few setups. I'm not seeing a whole lot of them, but I just showed you one, okay, that we're going after. But other than that, we're not, and it is an IPO too, by the way. But we're not going after a whole lot of setups right now because the market is chopping sideways for the last 8 weeks or so, as you'll see when we get to the live charts. So that's my self-regulation, right? But if you didn't know anything about trading and you're just like, okay, I'm going to trade IPOs, well, in bear market, you wouldn't have a lot, so you wouldn't be buying a whole lot. So that in and of itself will keep you out of trouble. They sort of do the market timing for you. Now, there's usually or often no pesky fundamentals, so they can be a technician's dream. They trade purely on emotions. There's some other things that are really kind of cool about them. Not enough time to get into a lot of details today. But for instance, usually the first news that comes out of them is going to be positive news. There's a lot of things that are baked into the cake before they come public to make them look good. Again, not enough time to get into that today, but usually the first news report on them, provided they're going higher, is a positive one to help support the stock. Now, sometimes you truly can't just buy the ones that are going up. Here's the thing, though. You have to trade on the promise and then bail when the reality begins to set in. So as a trader, you don't care. You just want to make money. And people have a hard time with that. But what about the earnings? What about the company? What are they, you know, it's like, no, stop worrying about all that. Don't even think about all that. If it's going up, think about buying it. If it's going down, think about selling it. So let's talk a little bit about SpaceX. Now, SpaceX, this is pre-IPO. If you ask for shares before it came public, the day it comes public, they would give you shares or allocate shares at $135 a share. So that's the pre-IPO price. Now, on day one, it had a pretty decent day, but it did tail off its best levels. And on the next couple of days, two and three, it began to take off. So it looked like it was going to be a fly for a little while. But on day three, it found its high. And that's been it so far. So it has begun to die out. Now, what's interesting is I think as it gets below 135 and stays there, it's going to put more and more and more and more pressure on the participants. And here's the thing I was thinking about before I went live, and I know I've covered this a lot in the course and all too, but there's a lot of things you don't have to worry about with IPOs, okay? So let's say you've got a stock that's got a big old mountain of overhead supply. It's been trading for a long, long time, and it looks like a really good setup down here. Well, your potential gains are likely going to be capped by that overhead supply. Well, there's not as many bad memories in an IPO, okay, and other things, other technical patterns and things to worry about because it's new. Now, what's interesting, though, is in a case like this, when it goes below 135, anyone who has ever purchased the IPO, whether they got it pre-market or aftermarket, is now at a loss, okay? And they might be looking to bail out. My little friend at the gym, He's 87 years old. He's not that little, but anyway, my friend from the gym, who's 87, recently started day trading. And I thought that was a bit of a fat lady singing type of sign that we could be nearing a market top. And also, he tells me the next day he's trying to get SpaceX pre-IPO, which he did get some shares. And then yesterday he told me, and I told him a little bit about the 135 thing and all. And usually when people talk to me about markets, friends and family, they don't want to know what I really think. They want to hear something that will support their bias. And their bias is, if they're long, they want me to be bullish. You know, my mother-in-law used to come over, and it seems like she'd always ask me about the market after the market has been tanking for a while, you know, I guess because she's worried about it. And I would say that I was bearish. And she's like, "You're always bearish." I'm like, "The market's going down," you know. And I'm not always bearish, as you guys and girls know. Sometimes I could be quite bullish. But anyway, getting back to SpaceX, a little concerning now that we're at or below 135. Yeah, we're at 133.40 now. So that's a no bueno, because everybody's at a loss. Now, of course, you might have some bottom fishers coming in thinking that, hey, 135, that's as cheap as you could ever get this thing, even if you got a pre-IPO. Well, as I often say, it's often darkest right before it gets more dark. Now, as I said a second ago, IPOs have a lot of repeatable patterns to them, and they're very obvious too. That's the beauty of it. Not like some obscure pattern that you have to pay someone to help interpret or whatever. They have very obvious reoccurring patterns. Again, and the die and die would be one of them. And this is again getting back to the beauty of IPOs, is if they don't go up, don't buy them. Okay. And that could keep you out of a tremendous amount of trouble. So yesterday and this morning, I just went in and grabbed, I sorted my IPOs by volume so I could see the more active ones. And every time I do this, I'm always shocked at how many set the high within the first week, and even more amazed at how many set their high or their high gets put in, however you want to look at that, on the first day of trading. So the first day of trading in this stock, it makes its all-time highs and then implodes from there. Now, Honeywell Aerospace, I guess the people over there are like, hey, SpaceX is going public. Why don't we spin off, I guess it's a spin off, our aerospace division, because that's the buzzword right now, and we'll capitalize on that IPO fever too. Well, what's interesting here is it did the fly, and then it immediately did the die, and it found its high when 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the fifth day of trading. So never buy an IPO until at least the close of day 5. So let it trade for a week. And that's going to keep you out of a tremendous amount of trouble. Another die and die. This one, again, found its high on day 1. And it's already lost about half of its value. And again, these are just stocks sorted by volume, okay? And just go in there real quick and sort your IPOs by volume. A couple of ways you can get IPOs. One little kind of software trick I use is I have close minus close 20, but you can use any type of indicator that requires X amount of days, like a 50-day HV or something. And it won't, the way Telechart works is it won't show you the ones, the rejects, okay, that have less than 20 days. Let's say using that close minus 20. And I take those and copy them over to a separate list. Stockcharts.com now has an IPO section, thanks to my encouragement several years ago. So you can get the issues there. FinViz also has kind of a cool IPO thing where you can go in and set the number of days you want to look at for IPOs, 3 months, 3 days, whatever, 3 months, 3 weeks, whatever. And you could see them all in one screen. And that's kind of, I know you want a part of it, be kind of a fun thing to do. But anyway, as you can see, this XE Energy found its high on day three, and it's already lost well over half its value from there. Yet another one here at day one, okay? So just that one rule, never buy an IPO in the first week of trading, and never buy an IPO unless it closes above its day one high, would be another rule that will keep you out of a lot of trouble. Now, a lot of times you have a fly and the die, okay? Now, the fly and die, sometimes you can make a lot of money on the fly phase, okay? But this is why money management is really, 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 really crucial. And, you know, sometimes there's something called the heirloom effect, is once you're in a stock for a while, you tend to not want to sell it because it's your good winner. I've got a client that'll buy these big tech stocks and hold them forever, and he'll make 200% or whatever on them. But when they start tanking, he has a really hard time letting go. IPOs, from a trader's perspective, from a technician's perspective, from a technical analyst perspective, only exist for you to make money. And you should treat stocks the same exact way too, stocks in general. But a reoccurring phenomenon, or phenomena, is they fly and they die. Okay, so here's an example of a fly and a die. Now, this isn't the most impressive example in the world, but you can see that there is some initial excitement coming out, and a few of those things that I talked about earlier helps to push the IPO higher. They're looking for the people who bought it before it came public, or the early investors, early adopters, whatever you want to call them, venture capitalists, whatever. They're looking to get out whole and hopefully make as much money as possible. So there will be some fun and games that happen to help push the IPO price higher initially. And so we jump in on that bandwagon sometimes when it sets up properly. And then we just make sure we have to have a chair before the music stops. So you take partial profits and then you trail a stop higher. And a lot of times you'll just get your little piece out of IPO and then you move on. You just shout next, okay? Don't fall in love with these things. They're made for trading, not eating, okay? Now, one thing that's kind of interesting about this one, I did not take this trade because the range really wasn't there, but it does kind of illustrate a point. And I do want to show you something else here too, but this is the fifth day of trading down here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have what's called a day one rule. If day one sets the high for the week, it also has to close above day one, okay? And I might have not said that correctly earlier. So it doesn't always have to close above the day one high, but if the day one high sets the high for the first 5 trading days, for the first week, okay, then it also has to close above that high. In this particular case, your high close was right there. Now, again, the range was kind of tight, and I'll show you where you can sometimes make an exception to these things. A little bit on the narrow side, and the buy at B would have been right there, okay? So the caveat was low range and high price. When I first did the IPO course, there was a $20 rule, and now that $20 rule is the $30 rule. Your best IPOs are usually less than $30 a share. They have the biggest chance of doubling, tripling, and whatever, and really take it off. So the volume was a little low, but this is just for illustrative purposes. That would have technically been your buy at B. Now, it did run 30% or so. So obviously, in this particular case, hopefully, if you took a trade like this, you would have taken some partial profits off before the bloom comes off the rose. So use that phrase again. Now, this is a fly, this is a die, and then a fly. Now, one thing I talked about in the course is, what's the story, Fat or Glory? This is an insurance company, and I just couldn't get excited about it, okay? And it's also a buy at B that took a while to trigger, and sometimes I forget about those, okay? Truth be told, sometimes the plumbers have the worst pipe. Sometimes I don't always do everything that I should do when I need to do it. But in this particular case, I wasn't that excited about it. But in hindsight, I should have put in an alert for when it closes above the day one high. So buy a B has to close above the day one high if that high sets a high for the week. So in this particular case, this was a die pattern, okay? Bottomed out, and then it took off. So your buy a B would have been right there. Now, ideally, I like these buy a Bs to happen on day five, okay? So you're getting in on the close of day five. Maybe if you've got a range expansion and you're well above the highest close of the week so far, you can sneak in a little early, which I occasionally do. I'd encourage you not to do that until you get a few winners under your belt, until you get a feel for the IPOs. But sometimes that 5-day expansion can be traded. Sometimes when your range is sort of narrow in an IPO and you're not really paying attention, like, oh, the range is too narrow. But on that day five, you get a nice big expansion bar. Sometimes you can go in on a day five. So that's a little bit more advanced. But anyway, technically that would have been the buy at B. And what you could do is you could, again, you could set alerts to these things as you're doing your IPO analysis. If it's something that looks like it might be liquid enough to trade down the road or whatever, again, you could put an alert so you'll know when it's making a new high. And what could happen then is the whole world doesn't get woken up to the fact that this IPO is a brand new high. When it's brand new, there's probably a little bit more people, there's probably more eyes on it, so to speak. Whereas if it happens kind of in a more of a stealthy manner, then a lot of people are caught off guard or missed it. Okay. And think about yourself as a microcosm. If you see like a longer term buy it be triggering and you're like, damn, I was watching that one, but it just kind of died out and I forgot about it. It's like, okay, well, that's kind of a microcosm of what's out there. But anyway, this particular case really took off, and I think it doubled, and it came right back in, which is okay. We have money management. A while back, and I forget which one it was, might have been AADX. I did make money in AADX, I think. That was a buy at B recently. I was trying to think of some recent examples because at the last minute, I wasn't really going to talk about buy at B today, and then before I knew it, rarely can I talk about IPOs when I talk about the buy at B pattern. By the way, buy at B, A, B, C, okay? A's here, C's here, B's in between. If a market's going to go from A to C, it's going to have to pass through B along the way. And that's why these IPOs, one reason is that they could be a technician's dream. Sometimes you could just buy at B. And it's such a simple pattern, and it just amazes me how well it can work, okay? Not all the time, but over time. Especially if IPOs, if the IPO market heats up again, which it will eventually. So the gist of the buy at B, you want to buy IPOs on the first new closing high on or after day five, okay? And again, like I said earlier, some caveats and some tips and tricks. Like maybe if you got an expansion of range, you could buy into the expansion of range where you're buying a few hours early. Okay. There's always a trade-off in trading, right? Because it could spike up, come right back down. Could also spike up, you can get your IPT before the close of the day, and now you got a free position in IPO. So one could work and one might not work. So you just have to kind of wrap your head around all that. If day high sets the high for the first week, it must also close above day one high. Otherwise, don't worry about the day one high. Okay. I think I just talked about that a bit. As a general statement, avoid stocks greater than $30. I'm becoming a little bit more lenient with that, 30 something, 35 or whatever. But just keep in the back of your mind that ideally you want a somewhat lower price IPO. Now, I also have the $5 rule. I find that the ones that come public less than $5 tend to be a little bit more flaky, okay? And they tend to fail a little bit more. And that's probably because it's kind of like penny stocks. You're kind of dealing with more crap or something that's going to come public at such a low level. But if you are looking to trade stocks that are above $30 a share, you might want to add in something like a momentum filter, like have Landry Light of a 5-day simple moving average, and I have a Landry Light pattern for the IPOs. Now, a couple of details of buy at B. You want a decent range, okay? Volume can be tricky too, okay? You need decent enough volume to trade them. I'd say at least 100,000 shares on average. But you might have some days where volume is kind of light and all of a sudden volume kind of explodes, okay? So that's another thing that could be a little bit tricky with the IPOs. But if you're paying careful attention to it, it's like, oh, wait a minute, we're gonna get 200,000 share day, 300,000 share day, or whatever the case may be, it's likely thick enough to trade. Of course, you also have to look at the spreads, and spreads can be a little crappy, but you want to try to have a decent spread. Now, usually I don't confuse the issue with facts, but ideally it's like, what's the story fat of glory? And as I've said a thousand times, I had a hard time getting excited about Academy Sports. So it doesn't mean that you won't trade an IPO at all if it's something boring, okay, like Academy Sports. But in that particular case, what I'll do is I'll look to trade a secondary setup. So it was a brick and mortar retail. I'm like, ugh, who wants that, right? But I later would find out that people did want kayaks and canoes. I can kayak canoe and stuff to go outside because that was in the middle of COVID, right? So it turns out that there was a story there, so to speak. Usually I don't worry about a story, but ideally I want something that's, I don't really want to buy a bank, okay? Maybe a small scale nuclear power plant to power a data center or whatever. That might be something a little bit more exciting, a biotech or whatever. So ideally, you want some sort of fad or excitement behind the IPO. But if it doesn't have that, you can take a secondary setup like the one I showed as a mystery chart earlier. It was a TKO, and then now it's a Lanternite pullback. And technically, it's still what I would call an IPO. In fact, IPO, sometimes you could get 6 months and sometimes even like a year or so. And when they may be based out for a long time and then first pullback or something after that, you would trade. They could be really good to trade. I call those toddlers. Okay. Initially, again, my excitement with an IPO is like getting in on that day five, coming in on a Monday and have an after-hour order in for 5 points higher, have that get hit, and I'm free rolling the next day or whatever, or Monday, whatever the case may be. That's the ideal trade, but there are some opportunities with these toddlers, so to speak, down the road. Now, again, where I'm going with that is the toddler would be a secondary type of setup, whereas something like a buy and B would be more of a pioneer type of setup. Okay. Now, this is an older example. And again, I'll try to find some newer examples first chance. I ran out of time. But you can see you've got 4 days of trading. So there's day five. Now, in this particular case, you could see that the high was set on day one. Okay. So you extend that line out. And also notice that the range was kind of, this is one of those little nuances that this is one of the things that'll take you a little while to learn, but it's okay. It's not that hard. It's all teachable, learnable, however you want to look at it. But this case, the range was kind of narrow, but on the fifth day, the range began to expand. So you would buy market on close, or if you're a little bit more savvy, maybe when you saw that expansion happening and you were well above the day one high, you can maybe get in a little earlier. So this was an old slide, but I can promise you I have lots of newer ones. And yeah, this is the ideal trade. Now, usually I don't put in after-hour orders. Although I have to say, I have a client that always does it. And whenever I lose on a trade and he makes money because he was able to take at after hours or whatever, he had an order in place for after hours at a limit at the profit target, I always need to rethink that. But usually on an IPO, nearly always I put in an after hours order like AADX. I think I made a little money on that one overall because I had an after hours order in place I totally forgot about, and then it got hit one day to my surprise. But anyway, that's the ideal trade. Unfortunately, it came back in and stopped me out. But ideally, you want to see him bang out that IPT and keep on going, obviously. So again, this is another dated example, and I have plenty newer ones. But anyway, day five will be right there. And your closing high was set on day four. Now, the high on day four was also above the day one high. So the day one high, the day one rule does not apply. Okay. See that high is greater than day one. Now, our buy is going to be a close above that level. So again, you would buy market on close. Now it did hit the IPT. Now notice that hit the IPT and it came right back in. Money management is key. And then it took off one more time. All right. Special offer. $200. I haven't offered anything in a while, so I want to do that, especially since I think IPOs are worth paying attention to. Well, they're always worth paying attention to, but we could get a new wave of these IPOs coming in fairly soon, depending on the market, of course. But right, one thing I've been thinking a lot about lately is now the market's gotten a little choppy and we're a little sideways and we're in the middle of summer, right? Well, you have to look ahead because we'll be coming out of summer here in a month and a half, and then maybe the volume will come back in, everybody will come back in and start trading, the market will take off again. So now's the time not to be trading a lot. Now's the time to be sharpening your axe. Get ready for those IPOs. Get ready for the next wave. Get ready for the next sectors that take off. One thing, just kind of a side note, is trading is not like life in a lot of ways, okay? In life, you need to take action. You need to take whatever client comes along and be thankful that you have a client. You can't wait for the perfect client, as I often preach, okay? Otherwise, you're not going to be in business for very long, okay? You have to take whatever train wreck comes along, as a psychiatrist, Dr. J, said. But in trading, a lot of times there's nothing to do, but doesn't mean you have to be doing nothing, okay? Use that time to sharpen your axe. Use that time to get educated. Use that time to do a lot of analysis, a lot of research, and so on and so forth. Don't trade a lot, okay, when conditions aren't conducive, but again, continue to sharpen your axe. So anyway, special offer, $200 off the IPO course, plus I'll give you 6 months free gold membership. We do talk about IPOs in the Facebook group. You can bring them up there. Please bring them up there, okay? We have a resident expert there, John Ross, on IPOs. He's done probably better than I have with my IPO course. And I like to see what he's up to and see if I can find the stocks before he does. And usually he finds them first. But anyway, we have really good conversations often in the group about IPOs. So daylearner.com/trade IPOs, all one word. Use the promo code IPO200. All right, let's take a look at crypto real quick. And then we'll take a look at the overall market. Any questions or anything thus far? Okay, no sound on my end. They are made. Might be me or you. Let's see. Looks like we're okay on this end. Randall, turn your speakers up. Randall, turn your speakers up. All right, sorry about that. I just had to give Randall a hand there. All right, let's take a look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin's improved a little bit. Maybe it's bottoming out, but I don't see any reason to rush out and buy it at this juncture. Just showing it. So as I've said ad nauseum, usually when Bitcoin's doing well, you can come in here and just buy the stronger pairs. Ethereum's been improving as of late, but it's got a lot of trading back here to be concerned with. So I'd leave Ethereum alone too. And again, let me just show you real quick. I doubt there'd be anything to do, but sometimes especially when Bitcoin is doing well, you just come in here and buy the stronger pairs. I haven't been doing much analysis lately in crypto. I should practice what I preach, and I should be doing my crypto analysis every day. But I'm not seeing anything. I haven't seen anything so far. I feel like I have to go after. That's a stock, so that's not crypto. CLMT. I think we traded that one a while back. Anyway, I don't see anything to do with crypto. Any questions on crypto? Randall said his sound got fixed. He put in his hearing aid. Oh, good. Good for you, Randall. Oh, geez. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad. Did you hear me screaming? All right. Let's hop into stocks real quick. And then we'll. If there's any in particular stocks, any stocks in particular you want me to look at, I'll be happy to do so. I'm not seeing a whole lot to get excited about at this juncture, but we'll see. Now, I ran out of time as far as the Landry 100, and you'll see that this list is not as impressive as it used to be, but we still have some triple-digit gainers in here. In the Landry 100. Landry 100 is just a momentum list. And in order to make the list, the stock has to close at or above a 50-week, in this case, 52-week closing high. Okay. So this was on 324. When is 324? 324. Okay. So right there. Okay. That was all-time closing highs, I think, too. But it was definitely brand new closing highs. It did correct after that. I'm not saying that stocks won't correct. That's 324. Okay, we bought it the day before. Okay, right there. Now, this is a hypothetical list, but I do occasionally take trades out of this list, okay? Pullbacks and setups like that, things of that nature. So Dell was $184 a share. And you're like, oh, that's just crazy, right? But then it went up to $500 a share, round numbers, okay? Doesn't always happen. That's why we kick things out when they begin to lose steam. We had a couple of, I don't know how much they were up before, but I know we ended up with some like 600%, okay? If you're going to trade breakouts, buy a lot of them, okay? Don't buy one or two because breakouts quite often fail. But if you're buying a basket of them, it can be pretty cool. Now, I don't actually, again, this is a hypothetical list, but I do get stocks from it. It's a wonderful exercise and doing this as I often preach. Let's take a look at a piece. In fact, let's get some moving averages and stuff in here. Okay, S&P 500, this is just chop city, okay? And if you didn't know anything about markets, just look at where they are and look at where they were. And that could be really telling. Yeah, longer term looks pretty good. You know, since April, we were up significantly. But intermediate term, we really hadn't gone anywhere in a couple of months. Now, the moving averages are an uptrend proper water. And we do have a little daylight above the 30 EMA. So as a general statement, we've been improving. We're also not too far away from all-time highs. Like, I often preach the Landry TFM 10% system, not the Landry. Forgot to put my name on that one. TFM 10% system. As long as you're within 10% of the 50-week closing high, you're in that don't worry, be happy zone. I know, haha. But it could keep you in the market for longer term, okay, if you're following a system like that. Now, as short to intermediate term traders, we do have to pay attention to a market like this that has lost some steam. And again, pay attention to that net basis. Pay attention to your moving averages. Now, take a look at NASDAQ. NASDAQ's looking a little uglier, okay? So far, it's making these lower highs, okay? So you've got a high here. Here's a lower high. Here's a lower high. This one's right around the same, okay? But in general, it's kind of worked its way lower. And now you're back below that 50 simple moving average. So NASDAQ still looks questionable at best. And a lot of tech areas have lost momentum. We'll get to that in 1 second. Here's a Rusty 2000. Rusty still looks okay, but it has lost some steam, okay? So pay attention to these indices. As Greg Moore says, tops are a process. Bottoms are more of an event. And it seems like it should be just the opposite. Seems a little counterintuitive, right? You would think that the market's like crash. Oh, the market crashed. Well, even back in 1987, and that's the beauty of something like the TFM 10% system. Now, I think it's probably been out for 6 years, maybe a little longer, and it's done quite well over that period of time. And it's done especially well in keeping you out of really ugly slides. And furthermore, if you go back to the last 100 years, it would have gotten you out of every bear market before the market crashed. I'm not saying that a market can't crash in one day and lose more than 10% of its value or whatever, and you're getting out much later. But so far, okay, and I know we don't have a really, 100 years is not a really a representative sample if you think about it, but let's not get too bogged down in that as a general statement. It will likely keep you out of a lot of trouble. The diaper change moments have been phenomenal on that. Diaper change is when the market just absolutely implodes and goes down 50% or whatever, 70% in the NASDAQ, 50% in the S&Ps, which happens more often than you would think, okay? Everybody thinks the market just goes straight up. It does not. That's a whole other story altogether. But anyway, again, tops are more of a process. Pay attention to those longer-term signals. When you're chopping around like this, if you want that 30,000-foot view, you could say, yeah, it's choppy, yeah, it's toppy. We got a little head and shoulders here. We got one of my clients is pointing out we have a diamond formation. He's been looking at charts a lot longer than I have, and he looks at things like that. I'm not a big fan of like a diamond, but I can wrap my head around something like a head and shoulders, okay? So do pay attention to all those things. Do sit on your hands quite a bit on your new positions. You do swing to intermediate term positions, unless it's something like biotech and you really like it, or a hot IPO, which we have both of in the, I just showed you in the slides, okay? But anyway, so longer term, things are still pretty good. Short to intermediate term, though, take a look at DRAM, okay? DRAM was one of the hottest areas. It is imploding, and it has continued to implode today. Semiconductors. Let me try that again. Semiconductors. You can see right here, brand new multi-month lows, at least on a closing basis. Bow ties are coming together. We could bow tie downside fairly soon. We could see some interesting shorts setting up in the semis. A little scary shorting something like the semis, but hey, it is what it is. But the only thing looking really good right now is biotech. I guess health services, but it's not quite as exciting as biotech. Got a TKO move, also a pullback in the works. So that looks pretty good. Health services or healthcare plans or whatever, providers, still look pretty good. Now, they did have an opening gap reversal today, but kind of a double top knockout type of pattern. That's looking pretty good longer term. Today, notwithstanding. Now, again, some of these leaders, prior leaders like cybersecurity, got thwarted at their prior highs. Okay. So it's not the end of the world for this guy just yet, but you might want to pay attention to these areas that are stalling after just hitting their prior highs. Major drugs would be another one of those areas that comes to mind. I don't know why I can't find anything today. I'll just punch them in. There it is. So look at that. Major drugs hit all-time highs, came right back in. Defense, another one of those areas. Look at that, imploding today, right? Bumped up against its old highs. Now it's imploding down below the 50 simple moving average. So as you go through these sectors, there's not a whole lot of good-looking sectors. Gold stocks, look at that. They got out new multi-month lows, new lows for the year, new multi-year lows, right? One-year-plus lows at least. That's looking kind of ugly. Broker-dealer broke out, but it's coming right back in already, okay? So if it comes all the way back in, then all bets are off. So a lot of these areas that started improving came back in. That's software. Let's find a couple of other ones. Banks, for instance, were kind of bumping up against their old highs, but look at today. They're beginning to break out. So that's we'll add that to the plus column. Financials kind of bumped up against their prior highs in here, so that's a little bit of concern. So we'll have to wait to see if we can follow through in something like the banks before getting too excited. Quantum computing, I don't know if I mentioned that one already, but you can see it's banging out some new lows in here. That's looking kind of ugly. So I like to see a technology-led bull market. And I like to see the semiconductors lead too. I really do. It's something that I learned many, many years ago. As somebody once put it, they call it the transports used to be something you'd watch to confirm the overall market. That's Dow theory. But in more recent times, now this was 20 something years ago, this gentleman would say this, but he called it the information superhighway with the semiconductors. And I firmly believe that. I do like the semis to confirm. But take a look at technology in general with the XLK. Okay, you can go all the way back to, where is this? Mid-May, okay? And there's no forward progress. And then now, with today's action especially, we're well below that 50 simple. And you can see these bow tie moving averages coming together and could bow tie to the downside fairly soon. So technology is looking pretty ugly. All service, those areas not looking so hot. You can see just the pullback here looks poised to make a new leg lower. And I'm just not seeing a lot of leadership. I saw someone earlier said something about the breath was good. I'm not sure where they look, what they're looking at. I'm kind of an empirical research kind of guy. I don't look at one indicator that says what the market's doing. I look at the P's. I'm like, okay, what's my net? What's the NASDAQ? Where are the moving averages? What sectors are leading? What sectors are lagging? Or there are a lot of exciting sectors out there, or they're just a few that are kind of taking off. Now, banks and areas like financials and healthcare plans might not be as exciting as some of these other areas, but as trend followers, or some would say trend following morons, maybe we have to take those trades when they set up. And so that's in the back of my mind, thinking about maybe going after some of those areas. Right now, biotech, that's the hottest area out there. That's the best looking area. Let's see if it can follow through from this pullback. All right, ALRS for Eugene. Good to see you, Eugene. It's been a while. ALRS. Yeah, that's financial, and that's looking pretty good. The HV is a little low, but I might have to get used to lower HV. It's the volume's a little bit on the low side, but I can't argue with the persistency on that. And keep in mind that with persistency, which is a good thing, your HV will come down. Usually my scans, when I get below 25 or so on HV, I start going really, really quick. And then I usually call it quits somewhere around between 20 and 25. But yeah, this is an okay looking stock. In general, I like more volatile stocks, but this certainly has the persistency. The volume's a little bit on the low side, but on a pullback, Eugene, that could certainly work. Yeah, as a pullback, absolutely. Yeah, you answered your own question there. I fully agree. Anything else? While we're in impasse, I want to thank everybody for attending. I appreciate taking time out of your busy schedule. Anything unanswered, you can shoot me an email at daviddavelandry.com. Everyone that's here today, I think, is in Facebook, so I'll see you there in a few minutes. Everyone else, have a great weekend, and may the trend be with you. Thank you. You're welcome.